This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we are joined by Cleveland Comedy Award nominee and ad hominem attack show roast battle champion, Phil Eckenrode.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you. Thanks for that intro. Quite the bio I'm putting together for myself.
Yeah, well, you can feel free to use that clip in your EPK. I won't be mad about that.
Thank you.
So, Phil, why do you hate being late?
I hate being late because it's so fucking rude. It is one of the most disrespectful things you can do to another human being outside of physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that everybody's time is so unbelievably precious and valuable that 2-3 minutes really makes that much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. But when people have set aside their time to be somewhere at a particular point in time and you just waltz in whenever you feel like it, I just feel like that's just the worst thing you can do.
I agree. And it's also why that I am notoriously a crazy person early at most things. I think Jordan at one point has just started telling me like a half hour late just so that I don't like show up, you know, ridiculously early all the time.
No, but like as far as people being late, it is just, like you said, it's the rudest thing you can do to somebody. And it's always people who are notoriously late that, and they're like, oh, that's me. Like,
absolutely.
No, oh, fuck you.
Absolutely.
Like, it drives me nuts.
It's this cute, you know, thing about them that they are just going to embrace. And I'm the late guy. There's always the one person in the office that's always late. There's always the one kid on... You know, my son plays hockey. There's always one kid who's always late,
yeah,
whose parents can never get him there on time, yeah, right? And it's just, oh, that's just us. We're just, our lives are so crazy. We couldn't possibly get here 7 minutes earlier than we did.
It's not like hockey's a cheap sport to play.
Yeah.
Like,
you're kind of paying by the minute.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And you'd think all these people were like, you know, trauma surgeons or, you know, Air Force fighter pilots or some, like, seemingly very important job that's very demanding of the time. No, they're just normal people like the rest of us that,
yeah,
my life's just so crazy, I just can't make it there on time.
I mean, learn how to schedule. It's not that hard.
No.
I unfortunately live with a notoriously late person, mm-hmm, who you hear in the intro to this podcast every week. It is maddening because, like, now that I live with him, and it's basically I have taken control of the situation by being like, I am driving so that, you know, we can get there on time. It does not matter. He's got things to do and like has to get ready and we're still late.
Yeah. The last time we went out for some live shows, we all had it planned out when we were ready to leave, and he showed up about 45 minutes late.
What the fuck?
And still had to put like pack his shit in the car.
Like, and no flat tire, no good reason,
no,
right?
No, he was
like,
probably getting his shit together that, yeah, he should have gotten together the day before,
yeah,
or 2 days before.
And to be fair, if you know, we started recording this about 1 o'clock today. If I blew a tire on the way here, right,
mm-hmm,
I'd feel bad that I missed it,
yeah,
and we'd probably have to reschedule. But that's different, right? That's a different situation, something completely out of your control.
Yeah, well, no, we're talking about people who are just perpetually late.
Right.
And it's unfair to do to the people that you made plans with.
Right. So, Jeremy, you live with a person who's notoriously late. I live with a person who is notoriously trying to just be as on time as possible, right?
Oh.
Just like, well, it's a 7-minute drive, so we're going to leave 7 minutes before the thing starts.
Oh,
why would we leave 8 minutes before the thing starts? Because there might be an extra red light.
That would drive me insane.
It's almost worse. It's almost worse in a way. I'd almost like just embrace being late and not giving a shit rather than just right up to the razor's edge of, but she's now gotten to the point of like, all right, just tell me the time we need to walk out the door. And, mm-hmm, I think of the time I would walk out the door if it were just me. And then I go 15 minutes back even further just to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get there. We're going to be the super early family or the super early kid. You know, my son has, I remember when he started playing hockey, he would be, he'd be at the rink, dressed, skates on, helmet on, ready to go. No other kids there yet. Mm. Like every week, like, Daddy, why are we sitting here for 20 minutes? I said, because we're not going to be late.
Yeah.
We're going to sit here. I'll get you a pretzel or something while we wait. But, you know, you see all these other parents come in and they're stressed out and they're screaming at their kid and they're all out of breath. And where's the neck guard and where's the skates and all this stuff? Nope. We're sitting here calm, just, you know, playing on our phone, our tablet, or whatever we're doing to kill time.
Exactly. Like, since the advent of the smartphone, I feel way better about being early because I have something to do.
Yes.
Like, I can check my messages. I can, you know, check my feed or check Twitter, and I'm fine. Like, I realize that I'm ridiculously early, but, like, even I was early to get Jordan today, and, like, I just sat on my phone and watch German commercials for 15 minutes, and it was fine.
There's an infinite amount of information that we'll never truly be able to watch and absorb, so why not cram an extra 15 minutes of weird German commercials in?
Yeah, exactly. It's not that difficult, and I don't understand why more people don't have that, you know, mentality where it's just like, it's so important not to be late. Just, you know, make a few extra minutes and... So I understand if you have a busy schedule and you're trying to back things up against each other. I'm a comedian. I book multiple shows in a night sometimes. But even then, you still got to figure out that little 5-minute window that, like, I have to leave in this 5 minutes or I'm screwed. And
I'll give you two examples, both stemming from the same thing. I don't have a car. And my job now... I show up anywhere from a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes before my shift starts. So half the time when I open, I come in, I start doing everything, getting the store ready. And if I'm working with my manager, he's on time. The one guy, maybe a few minutes late. The other guy, always late.
Every day.
Every time. And he's like, he's just like this pariah of where I work. And he... constantly, he's got an excuse for everything and this and that, and all of them have cars. I don't, yet I am always there before everybody else.
Isn't that interesting?
It's just, and they're like, well, I have a car, so like, I, you know, I've heard this. I have a car, so it's, I sometimes I'm not looking at the clock, and I live so close. It's like, then leave 10 minutes earlier than you normally would. 10 minutes.
I love that having the car is actually a hindrance to being on.
Oh yeah, I know. I want to slap. Yeah, I want to slap people when they say that shit.
Well, and sometimes I need gas. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then get, like, if you know you have somewhere to be, do that shit well in advance.
Yeah.
And the other times would be, what other job was it? Oh, when I worked in when I worked in Parma, but I lived in Brooklyn and I had to take the bus to work. I had to trek like a mile in whatever weather. To get to the bus stop and then take the bus stop down to Pearl and whatever street that was.
Like 130th or something?
Not 130th, before 130th.
I don't remember. It's been too long since I've had a reason to go over there.
Yeah. Either way, you know, there was two buses that would run. One would get me there about 20 minutes earlier, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts across the street, so I'd go get my coffee, you know, whatever, read a book, whatever, you know, for 20 minutes before I walked across the street to go to work. And the other bus, you know, would get you there right on time. And
No good. That doesn't count.
So, plus, I would not have time to get coffee. When I don't have coffee, I'm not a pleasant person to be around.
Can confirm.
Are you pleasant when you've had coffee?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Ish. I'm more pleasant than I would be if I didn't have coffee.
It's moving the needle the right way.
Right. And so but there was this one girl who basically would take the same bus I did. She lived closer. But she would always take that. She would never get on my bus. So I'm like, oh, she must be getting on the next one. And she was perpetually late. And our boss was like, Jordan doesn't have a car and gets here on time. You live closer and you can't get here on time. And I was like, I didn't want to, you know, I was I liked her at the time. I wanted to try and,
you know. Of course.
And, but that probably set that, you know, back. It was like, oh, Jordan gets here on time. Well, yeah, because I'm not a piece of shit.
Was this the telemarketing job with the charity? I was just listening to the Riley episode on the way here. Is that place. You're talking about that. Yeah.
MPI.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. How could you possibly start a sexual relationship with someone that's going to be perpetually late? Because you're never going to be able to finish them off. They're always going to finish late.
I got mines. Get yours.
Fair enough.
And you don't want her to be too comfortable with telling you how late she is all the time, too. That's another, you know. Rim shot? Do we have one we can add in afterwards? Okay, thanks.
I dated a girl like that. It's she would always act like it was a big deal that she was late. And she was always late. So it's like, you know, she'd call me like I'm late and I'm like, you're always late. Yeah. She's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I took all my pills on time and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you have been late the past 3 months. Like, why should I be concerned right now?
We need to be concerned with inconsistencies in the schedule, not,
Yeah, exactly. So, God, that drove me nuts. She would take extra.
You're visibly shaking right now. You're like uncontrollably shaking.
She would take extra birth control pills because she was
late. I don't think that's how that works.
Well,
I know anything about science, that's not how that works.
When she was late, because the theory is that, you know, the Plan B pill is just an additional dose of birth control pills. So her thought was, I'll just take more birth control pills, and it's just like taking a Plan B.
Welcome to The Pill, a podcast about birth control by three men.
Yeah. Let me give you my thoughts.
Yeah. We'll be taking your calls.
687-3515.
Breastfeeding in public. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, what's
what if
their
I
deal?
Want to see those titties?
Yeah, move that baby to the side.
I'm thirsty too.
Let me see the milk crust around your nipples.
No, you seem like the type. You seem like the type that you've watched videos.
Yeah, that was
on the
really
internet before,
specific.
Where they squeeze the boobs and the milk comes out. I feel like you've watched that.
Of course, I have. I am a man of varied tastes, and occasionally I want to watch the people that actually have to wear maternity clothes instead of the people that buy maternity clothes because they fit the best.
I
like your people.
Yes, my people. You're the pregnant man here, Jordan.
We're not recording any of this, are we? This is just, we're still warming up the mics. Okay.
Yeah, this is our 10-minute long mic check.
Yeah, we just riff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I am commissioning a pregnant Jordan drawing. So it's happening. If you want to submit fan art.
If it's not giving birth to a devil, then there's no point.
Okay, fine. I'll update the commission. How often do you find that you have clients that are late?
Well, so now I'm an in-house lawyer now, so I work at a manufacturing company, and I don't have to deal. I basically have
but
one,
if I get in trouble,
client.
I can call you.
Oh, yeah, we can work something out
okay,
on the side.
Okay, cool, awesome.
But back when I was in private practice, it was pretty regular. People were late.
Oh, no.
And these are, you know, it was mainly civil, kind of commercial dispute kind of cases. I didn't do any criminal law, but we're talking about people with potentially millions of dollars at stake over something and still can't find a way to show up to their deposition on time or to court on time. And if that won't motivate you, I don't know what will.
Well, my sister just won a settlement. Is that six figures? Is that what they're called?
Sure.
She won, or is it seven figures?
If it's
seven's a million.
Seven figures.
Depending on whether you count the decimal places.
Seven figures. And her, I guess they call them ex-in-laws at this point, because her husband died.
Oh.
And they sued the hospital because the hospital wouldn't take him back. Yeah, he was having a heart attack, but the hospital wouldn't take him back for 4 hours. So they had to get the security camera footage, all this stuff. She ended up winning, and obviously I won't say how much, but a sizable amount. And then her in-laws decided to come after her and try to get half of it.
Oh.
And the last deposition they did, or last mediation they did, the like the final one, they wanted like half her money. They ended up with about $4,000 to split between the four of them. $400,000 to split between the four of them. And that was before the lawyer fees.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck them.
That'll go pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah. So fuck them.
Were they late?
Yeah, that was that. Yeah. They were just not prepared because they had no foot to stand on.
See, if they would have just showed up 20 minutes early, did some research on their phone, they might have.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to court a few times because I'm scum. Mm-hmm. And
can confirm.
Second that.
Yeah. The whole reason that you show up to court like before your time is so that you actually have time to talk to the guy that has very little time to work on your case.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've got a when I got my DUI, the last time I was going into court for it, which I got a lawyer got pushed on me from a friend. It was his brother. And had I known the full story, I would never have hired the guy because they would have given me the same thing without a lawyer. And I went to the Akron courthouse. I was there well before I was supposed to be, but forgot to sign in.
Ooh.
And they were like, I didn't see him. And like, I walked back in the office, like, because I let them know I was there. I walked back in the office and the woman was like, I haven't seen you. I was like, I was in here 10 minutes ago. Luckily, my lawyer got like that all, you know, he was like, no, he was here. If we have to pull the security footage, we can, but he was here. And he was late too. And luckily, the judge, because it was like my first offense, she went kind of easy on me. I still had to do 3 days. And
over a weekend or something.
Yeah. And I forget what else she did. Oh, the fines, whatever the fines were. That's what I would have gotten had I not had a lawyer. Yeah. You know, it's just that was pointless.
Party plates?
No. I'm about to get a car again, but I pay a couple years ago. I to start being able to pay my fine down, I had to carry an SR-72. SR-22. Simply because, like, to make the payments, I had to have insurance, even though I didn't have a car.
Yep.
And I paid that off, and then my final fine just got paid off not too long ago. There's a car waiting for me. I just have to go take my temp test and then my driving test, and then I'm good. But anyway, being late to court appointments.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, and show up early. You can learn some valuable intel. I used to like showing up early, and if you know, usually it's a cattle call at that sort of thing, right?
So yeah.
There's 97 cases all scheduled for 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And it's kind of show up. Whoever gets there first gets to go first and sit there and watch some of the other ones go up. And what kind of mood is the judge in today?
Yeah.
What kind of mood is the prosecutor in today? Okay, she didn't like when they made this argument. I'll make sure not to make that one. I mean, just valuable free information
that you get
by showing up early.
Yeah.
One of the things I think was my saving grace was certainly not my lawyer, because he wasn't even familiar with the Akron court system, which when I found that out, I was like, dude, you should just go home then.
He's asking you for the address. Yeah. Like, how do I get there? What's the...
Dude, he's like, oh, do you want coffee? No, I want you to get here so we can figure out what our strategy is, dude. But anyway, the cop who, you know, I wasn't technically arrested because I was in the trauma center, broke my arm. And the cop who, quote, end quote, arrested me, came to my court hearing and was like, I firmly believe that Jordan has seen the error of his ways. He was very honest with me when I got on the scene.
Wow.
He's like, I do believe that you guys should maybe go a little easy on him.
Wow.
Like, said that in front of the entire court. For the record, I do not have a good standing with the police. But when I got arrested, The guy, like, when the cop walked up to me, he's like, hey, man, what happened? I was like, I flipped my car. He goes, why? I was like, I was drinking. You know, I was straight up honest with him.
Best thing you could do. Yep.
I was just honest with him. Whereas, like, my lawyer friend, she was like, don't say anything. Because, like, she's a criminal defense lawyer. She's like, don't say a word. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's too late now, you know. But I just wanted it to be, like, because you know what? It was equally the worst and best thing that ever happened to me. Like, it made me, I mean, I won't say I'm on a straight and narrow all the time, but, like, it definitely pointed me in the right direction because I never want to have to go through that again
because
it's all about making money.
Sure. Nice that he did a solid and showed up and had your back.
Yeah, that was That's very, very huge. Cool. I was like, because, you know, he still got, you know, his quota. He got a DUI, whatever, but he showed up to be like, hey, he was honest. And, you know, he showed remorse immediately for what he did.
Yeah.
And, but the shitty thing is they did not take my blood until 4 hours after, which is illegal. So I should have technically never gotten a DUI. But like I said, it put me.
Grand scheme of things.
It worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Goddamn cop lover.
One cop lover, not a police lover.
Okay, fair enough.
My dad was a cop. They're not all bad.
No, they're not all bad.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
You'll appreciate this year. So we had at my work, we do wood fired pizza, and we have cops come in, mainly just like this one, and then he'll bring his partner in and stuff. And we do like a 50% discount for service people, and. It was the one guy that always comes in, and this younger kid who's definitely younger than me, and the one guy we all don't like that we work with was saying something to me, and I just looked at them, and I looked at him. I was like, if you guys take out your batons and beat the shit out of him, I will give you whatever you want for free anytime
for
you
life.
Come in here.
Free pizza for life.
And the younger one pulls out his baton, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty funny. And he was like, oh, you know, joking. And, but the older cop that I talked to all the time, he was like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. It was funny. And then so they go sit down, and I handed them their pizzas, and I looked at them both, and I was like, hey, don't forget about our deal. You beat his ass. And I made the young cop so uncomfortable. He goes, we don't do that.
I was kidding. That was a joke.
And
I was kidding.
And I just wanted to be like, the news says you do.
He's like covering up his body camera. I said, yeah, like,
that was a joke. We don't do that. Mr. Patrick, that is a gentleman of color.
It wasn't a gentleman of color. He was from Parma. So he's just the worst.
I mean, that doesn't narrow it down.
He's a Polak. His last name's Szymanski.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, they're gentlemen of color.
He says color. Eastern Europeans aren't white.
No, they're not.
He calls us ethnics.
Look.
Oh, Jeremy does?
Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, really nice.
Look, here's the thing.
Oh, boy.
A lot of you ethnics have forgotten. Forgotten that not too long ago you were just as reviled as, you know, the other people that are oppressed at this current time in United States history.
Muslims?
Whoever. It doesn't matter.
All of the above, I think.
All of the
saying.
Above.
Yeah.
And yet I go out and about and hear terrible things being said by these ethnics about our friendly neighborhood minorities. And I would like to remind them that, no, like, when push comes to shove, like, you're an other, too. So you need to knock that
you're
shit off.
You're an other,
wow.
too.
Wow.
Says the Unitarian Jew.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely an other. That's why I don't feel any remorse about it. Because
Junitarian.
Yes, I'm
right
a Junitarian.
It was right there.
It was. He's been practicing that in the mirror for the past 3 days.
He thinks, like, we've just known each other for a little over half a decade now. I've gotten very good at coming up with new ways to tell people he's Jewish. So leave me alone.
No,
I don't practice it. It comes to me naturally.
I mean, people deserve to know.
Yeah, I mean you want to know what you're listening to. Yeah. I'm sorry, who you're listening to.
Yeah.
That was definitely a Freudian slip. I know how you really feel about us, Jordan.
Yeah, that's why I've been doing this fucking show for, what, 3-4 years? How long?
It's why you leave the rat poison out when I come over.
How many episodes?
Well over 100. I don't even know. Because we were researching our second show when Trump got elected. So our show has been around almost 4 years.
Yeah. Wow. That whole thing.
A lot of good that did.
Yeah, we didn't research hard enough.
No, what we were researching for that episode was Forrest Gump, because somebody wanted to come on and talk about how they hate Forrest Gump. So,
we did some research.
Yeah, we did. Oh, no, wait. That's
the second episode was opiates, which we did a lot of firsthand research.
Years in advance.
Had a good base.
I'm trying to think of which one that was, though. No, that was the one where we left and went to Paul and Sean's show. But we were sitting around doing something. We were researching for some. Oh, it was the Grease episode.
Oh yeah, you made me watch Grease.
Yeah, it was BJ's episode.
Ooh, Grease is terrible.
You listen to that episode. My friend BJ hates it, and I like it.
Really?
Oh yeah. So we just went back and forth. It's a really fun episode. But yeah, me and Shear were recording that, or we were researching that, and then he got a call from Sean Ast and was like, hey, do you guys want to come on the podcast? He's like, hey, we got to drive down to Akron. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And then we got stuck in that weird traffic.
Yeah, that whole thing. Somebody crashed their car on the Jennings and it backed us up for like a half an hour. It was not fun.
No, made you late.
It did make us late, but yeah, we called.
It's bullshit.
We called and we're like, hey, like, we're stuck in traffic.
This is out of our control. This is an acceptable late.
Paul was telling us a story. Our engineer Paul was telling us a story about how they had a guy drive down from Cleveland who knocked on the door once. Nobody answered it, so he just left.
To record the podcast?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, he just left.
Well, that's the acceptable amount of due diligence to seeing if someone's home.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to drive down to Akron for
the light census taker knock.
If I'm going to drive down to Akron, I'm not going to knock once and then drive
home. I'm probably
going
to try to break in the house.
Yeah, and that's an easy house to break into.
I mean, I've definitely come close to breaking into some houses when I've showed up to do things, because
I've broken into houses to steal pills before. Not anymore. But, and I have a lawyer here.
Yeah. So. Hey, look, that's your journey. You know, that's what made you.
Yeah. So,
and the world should thank me for that.
Look, the worst part about being late when you're breaking into a house is that you spent all this time casing it, all the minutes that Jordan was like, I bet they have pills in there.
Yeah, I think that was probably the extent of the research, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, I got
smash.
I got smarter. I got so smart to the point where I got caught multiple times. Mm. I was doing it so, I mean, we're talking, this is 10 plus years ago, but
hang on, is the statute of limitations on burglary up after?
I'm not going to give up who or where I did it from, so it doesn't fucking matter. I did that for a very long time, and I got really, really, really good at it. I knew how to, I mean, because you're taking them from people you know. I'm not just casing some rando's house.
You're not a dick. You're not going to steal them from a stranger.
Oh, no, I'm definitely still a dick. Yeah. Oh, no, if I could, I would feel a lot less remorse about that, but whatever. I'm not going to, that's B&E. The chances of, like, a family member calling B&E on you are slim.
Right.
But I was so good at it that I got too cocky about it. And that's what got me caught.
Flew too close to the sun.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Granted, I was real high when I got caught, so I really didn't care.
You literally thought you were flying close to the sun at that point.
Hey, man, drugs are cool. Just handle your high, man.
Well, speaking of being late and drugs,
drug dealers are late, it's the worst. I'm trying to get high.
That is a huge problem amongst the drug dealer community. And I think it is because it is difficult to handle your schedule when people are calling you like 15 minutes before they want you to show up. And then you have to prioritize your calls. It's kind of like, there's a triage system with drug dealers. It's like, well, this guy wants this amount of drugs and wants me to be here then. And this guy wants this amount of drugs, but he wants me to be. So you have to. That's why they're late.
I mean, I get it. I definitely get it. And I do find that, like, people who expect their drug dealer to be there, like, hey, I ran out of weed and I'm completely out. I need you to come drop some off. Like, no, I have other shit going on.
You're not my only client.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. It's like, if you, not that I ever did or did not sell drugs.
Sure.
But like,
sounds like you probably did.
Yeah. if I am going to provide a service for you, mm-hmm. and you're going to pay me for that service, mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of the people that hit me up first. However, if it's like, oh, $20 transaction, $500 transaction,
we're going to reprioritize.
Yes, and I'm going to go get that guy's money.
Absolutely.
Before he can choose that he doesn't want that many. Because I want, my goal as a businessman would have been, I need to get this in his hand and get that fucking money in my hand.
Any business, legal or illegal, would follow the same principle.
Thank you.
Bigger customers talk.
Yep.
That's.
I used to drive to PA once a month to drop off a hefty amount of edibles to a client that paid me not only a premium price, because he's rich as fuck, a very premium price for the product, and then would tack on another $250 because we were driving from Cleveland.
Nice.
And he was like, well, and you guys are taking a risk, so I want to throw a little more in there.
And this was Ben Roethlisberger? Is that what you said? Is that who that was?
Because that, dude, that would have been... What's a date rape drug?
What's the date rape drug?
Like, Jeremy, you know.
Yeah, of course I know. I've been roofied.
roofied, that's what I'm...
Rohypnol.
It's Rohypnol. There's also GHB. And
I've done GHB before. It was fun.
Really?
It just, honestly, like, two little drops of it makes you feel like you're drunk. Like, that's, and, like, just super, like, it's like a mix between alcohol and benzo. But, like, not on, like, I'm sure if you put enough in something, that would knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
But, like, take two little drops, you just feel goofy.
It's also, weightlifters use it.
GHB?
Yeah.
Why?
So that you're not in as much pain and you can recover faster.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But also, I've seen people, like, use Xanax to do that. I've seen people. Don't look at me that.
No, I was going to say, like, Xanax, like, because I'm on, what am I on? I'm on Klonopin for my anxiety. And I've taken Xanax that I've bought from somebody before. It doesn't work for me, and apparently what was given to me was the highest dose of Xanax you can have. It didn't do shit for me. So yeah. Xanax don't work in my body chemistry, huh. I guess.
Yeah, but I've been roofied at Annabelle's.
What's that?
I've been roofied at Annabelle's.
Well, of course you have. That is a dog shit fucking place.
Well, we I might be doing a show there, but...
I will not be there.
Fair enough.
Because you know who lives right down the street?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Is this categorized as an educational podcast?
It can be.
Okay.
What do we call it?
I'm learning a lot.
A general...
It's a specific general interest podcast.
I came up with that.
That's good.
Yeah. No, it's... yeah, but if you're late when taking your drugs, that is also a problem.
Oh, we were talking about that on the way here.
Yeah. I was late taking one of my pills, and it made me go through withdrawal the next day. And it wasn't like a bad pill; it was an antidepressant. But you know, just the.
But when they're in your system at such a high quantity, if you miss it because you've been taking it for so long,
you're on
that
cycle.
And it's not the same as like withdrawals from opiates or withdrawals from alcohol or withdrawal from benzos. It's not the same thing exactly, but it sucks.
Yeah.
It makes you immediately depressed. It just takes everything.
It's like coming down from acid.
Yeah, I can relate. Last weekend, I ran out of White Claws, and
and I gave my kid some acid. And,
yeah,
and I just watched him.
It was the worst. I had to go to the store and buy more, and
because I forgot how long acid takes.
My wife
and
was
he was
pissed.
Being a dick.
Yeah.
Are you on the claw bandwagon there, Phil?
I will have a claw or two in the summertime.
No law in the claw.
Normally, I will take a big plastic cup filled with ice, put a White Claw in there, and then like 4 inches of Tito's on top of it. So just a really
super claw.
Super claw.
Yeah. That's Dr. Claw.
Is that what his name was on
Inspector Gadget?
Yes. It was. Was
next
it Dr.
time,
Claw?
Gadget. Next time.
Next time, Gadget. Yeah,
very good.
Well, that was his voice, right?
Yeah.
It was like this.
Yeah. You never saw him, or you never saw his face.
Just his hand.
Just the claw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a kind of a cop out on the animation.
And the cat.
And the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mad Cat.
Was that the cat's name?
The cat's name was Mad Cat.
Wow. That, you could win a trivia game.
That band sucked. That.
Yeah.
I actually, they asked me to stop coming to trivia nights after. Well,
well, it's not fair to have autistic people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wrong spectrum, you dickhead. First of all. Second of all, a buddy of mine was running a trivia night. I showed up, and they had all these teams of people, like, having a good time and playing the game and doing all the
drinking and having fun. Paying attention.
And then I show up and win the damn thing by myself. And they were like, can you just not do this anymore?
No, fuck that, dude. If you're good at something, fucking do it.
Absolutely.
And if you can do it by yourself and rake in all the presents, please.
No, it was mean, especially because I knew the guy.
Was this general knowledge trivia, music trivia?
This is just general knowledge. Okay. Right. It's like, I don't know. I know a lot of stupid trivia stuff because I have room up here. Yeah, I didn't kill.
Yeah, you know Dr. Claw's cat's name, so I would say, yeah, you're checking the box on knowing a bunch of useless shit.
Oh, I was waiting for you to be like, oh, you're checking the box on being autistic.
Same.
I'm reading.
I like this guy.
I'm reading the social cues from this situation, and I'm confused. Dance with Charlie Babbitt. I'm an excellent driver. Definitely not wearing my underwear. Gotta go to Kmart. Me.
How many toothpicks can you count?
Oh, no. Why don't you throw some on the ground and we'll
No,
because
Paul's going to have to pick them up.
Yeah. No.
Four left in the box.
I don't know. Those twos are crossed. How many does that count for? Being late.
Yeah, late.
This is what happens on our show. We just start.
I love it. Yeah. It's fine. Okay.
All right, give me an experience. Sorry, Sheer, did you have a question?
Go.
Okay. Give me like an experience where it was like...
Jesus Christ! I just broke the chair!
He's not even the fattest person here!
I'm by far the thinnest person at this table, and I am not a thin man.
By far. give me an example of, like, when you think about somebody being late, and you're like, God fucking damn it, first question, do you get angry?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I get more angry. Well, I get angry when people show up late, certainly, but I get probably even more angry at the anxiety and the worry in thinking you're about to be late. So,
again,
if you're relying on somebody else, if it's your wife or a roommate, whoever that is.
A podcast partner,
and you're sitting there watching the clock, you know, shoes are on, jacket's on, ready to go, keys in hand, and, you know, they're like...
Counting squares, yeah, whatever.
They're like just getting into the shower at this point, you know.
I just keep calling him autistic. He loves it.
He does seem to love it. I will say he does truly seem to love it.
When I say something, Sheer throws down his hat. That's when I know I'm just like, all right, you're treading water. You're about to get roasted pretty soon. So give me an example while Sheer collects himself and his hat. Give me an example of like a time. Give me a story of like a time where somebody was late, where you were just like, motherfucker, I will divorce you. I will like whatever it is. I will sell you to Uganda, meaning your kid.
Yep.
whatever.
Specific example. Probably something I could have thought of on the drive here. I think it was in practice. I remember one time we had a hearing, very important hearing. Mm-hmm. So it was I used to do a lot of work where we do what they call preliminary injunction hearings. So you'd go into court kind of on an emergency basis and try to get a judge to order a company to shut down or open back up or start making the widgets again or stop making the widgets, whatever the thing was that you had some contract, right, that you could go into court and try to have happen. And this is a super important thing in this company's life. This was not a billion-dollar company. This was kind of a mid-sized company. Like, whether we won or not was kind of a bet the company thing, right? Like, if we lose, this company could go out of business. 100 people could lose their jobs. And we had a hearing scheduled for 9 a.m. in federal court in Columbus. And, you know, I'm there at, you know, probably 8:15 or some.
And what time are you supposed to be there?
Yeah, it starts at 9.
There you go.
Starts at 9.
A good 45 minutes early for a very important date.
Very important. So I'm, you know, now it's 8:30, 8:40, 8:45, and I'm pacing, calling him, constantly calling him. He rolls in like...
Can I pause?
Sure.
How many shits did you take in that meantime? Because like when I get all nervous and like I'm worrying about somebody else being on time that might fuck up my thing, might like, you know, adrenaline affects people in different ways. Sure. I learned that from The Sopranos.
Sure.
You, like my stomach starts getting sour and I have to go take shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just, you know, the joke was, how many times do you have to go take a shit in that 45 minutes? Yeah. Or are you just on your phone like, motherfucker?
Yeah, I'm not a nervous shitter. And usually when I had something like that, when I had court, I usually wouldn't eat that morning. I just, you know, I'd like to be hungry.
Take Imodium.
Empty stomach. Yeah.
Dude, it blocks it up. Yeah, you won't have to shit.
Good call. So, I mean, he rolls in at, you know, 8:59 and 47 seconds.
And you said this is important, right?
The company goes out of business if we lose.
Okay.
I mean, it's that important, right? Yeah. So... You know, we walk into the courtroom together at 9 a.m. and the judge and everybody else is none the wiser. They have no idea that I've been frantically pacing in the hallway for 45 minutes, freaking out. And, you know, I would have liked to have had 15, 20 minutes with him to prepare him because he's going to testify and here's some of the questions they might ask you. And we'll just show up and wing it. And we won anyway. But
that's good.
You know, it's one of those like I almost wish we would have lost. And be like, yeah. See, fucker.
Yeah. Be on time.
That extra 15 minutes would have made a difference.
And granted, you guys won, but it probably would have made it even better.
Thankfully, I'm such a brilliant lawyer that it didn't matter.
Well, that's why you're my lawyer.
Wait a minute. What? Shit.
I'm going to need a card.
Engagement letter.
You're gonna love what Jordan offers as his retainer. Look at those beautiful.
I take out my retainer. I have you retain my retainer, and then I just go to town.
I mean, it is.
I've already taken my hat off. If I wouldn't have, I would be throwing it on the floor. Right now.
I mean, you know, considering the state of the world today, it is a legally binding contract in this day and age
to have coronavirus.
Well, no, not. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Well,
are you guys worried about the coronavirus?
I am anxiety ridden, so it pops in my head every once in a while. Sure. I'm like, what if I get it? And then my fiance is like, you're an idiot. You know, stop worrying about it. Wash your hands. Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So I've been washing my hands obsessively. So am I worried about it? No, I think it's the media overblowing it because of everything that's going on with the election right now. Sure. I think that's more what it is.
Yeah, I tend to agree. What about you?
No, I'm not worried about it at all, but it's mostly because...
He's got shit that kills coronavirus running through his blood.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'm just...
On the spectrum of viruses, it's not the one I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Jeremy Shear, the human virus.
Yeah, no, I'm more worried about other viruses, definitely.
Is strep throat a virus?
No, that is a bacteria. That is why you can get a shot of penicillin and kill it. Or you can take a Z-Pak.
Strep is
a kind of bacteria.
I heard you. I heard you the first time. What I was saying is I often get them confused. I don't know. So viruses cannot be fixed with meds.
No, viruses can be fixed with antivirals.
Okay.
Like you can go get...
Well, like that shit that I had on my hand, like they gave me that, what the fuck was it?
Some sort of antibiotic will kill bacterial.
It was a virus. It was basically like herpes on my hands is what they told me it was.
The old hand herpes.
Yeah, you know.
How'd you get that?
They have no fucking idea. Yeah. I did not, like, because it's not on my dick. It's never been on my dick. No,
not about it being on your dick.
Who did I finger?
No. That is not what he was insinuating. What he was insinuating is you were trying to get your retainer. And you had given some lovely fellow an HJ while he was sitting in the passenger seat of your car and you were driving.
Oh, that's... Wow, okay. I hadn't thought it all one the way through like that, wheel, to be honest with you.
One hand on the client.
Not sure where I was going. Not sure where I was going with my hand story. But they did give me meds, and it did go away. But my nerves still hurt very bad.
Yeah, really? Hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But at that spot?
Yeah. All in, like if I bend, like, you know how you go to stretch your hand sometimes. Like, I can do that, no problem. If I did that, it would send shock waves up my. Yeah, it hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah, the problem was he was a beer can boy, and Jordan got all excited, and he was like, "Ooh!" and he cracked his knuckles a little too hard. And now he's got permanent nerve damage.
I'm going to crack my knuckles on your fucking face, you pig.
I am a big fat pig.
I'm going to stop calling you a pig. I'm going to start calling you a rat because it's much more demeaning to your people.
Yeah, I realize this. Your casual anti-Semitism is damaging to our entire people.
Dude, who is the comic? John Mulaney, because he's married to a Jewish woman. He's like, in one of his specials, he's telling a joke. He goes, "Now look, this is going to get playfully anti-Semitic." Like, I love how he just put it on Front Street.
I love his style and his,
like,
I hear it.
He can say basically anything he wants, and he can get away with it because of how he says it. And I respect the fuck out of that guy.
That's right.
Yeah. Comics being late.
One of my favorites. Dave Flint, one of my favorite people in comedy, has never been on time.
Yeah.
And that goes before a show and after a show, because he's normally making the show run longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And he knows it, too. That's what I love about Dave, is he knows it and he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's kind of embraced it.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make it any easier for me, and it makes it difficult for me to book. If I know somebody is habitually late, like, that changes whether or not I'm going to book you.
Ryan?
Well, Ryan is hit or miss.
Yeah, he is. Ryan will either be on time or he'll text, you know, like when we were doing the ad hom thing, he'll text me and be like, "Hey, sorry, I'll be there in 25 minutes. Motherfucker, the show's about to start." Okay.
Yeah, it's the goddamn worst. And it, especially when you're producing a show, because it's, you know, there are a million different things going on in your head before the show starts. And
worrying about whether somebody shows up should not be one of them. Or exactly. Whether they show up on
if
time.
I'm worrying about somebody showing up the day of a show, I'll take them off. I'll find somebody else, because there is no reason for that to even be a question. For example, when we did our first live shows in Kalamazoo, Michigan, he was running around, meaning Shear, was running around like a chicken with his fucking head cut off, like, "We need to get this, we need to get this, we need to get this." And I'm just like sitting back like, "Dude, we're going to be good. We'll be fine." And he's just like all worried. I'm like, "We're in good hands." And the show went off without a hitch because my people set it up, not your people.
Eastern Europeans? What are the...
No, my friends.
Oh, got it.
No, there was no racial anything in that one. This is just my people because they booked the show. But yeah, he's running around like, "We got to get this, we got to get this." I'm like, "Dude, we're good. Set up merch. Set up the show. We're fine."
No, I think it's more of that fact that I have control issues, where if I don't have my fingers over every part of the production, then I cannot...
You know what that means? He doesn't trust me. And I've delivered many times.
That's what I'm hearing.
I've delivered many times.
It's not just you, Jordan. It's anybody.
No, I didn't think it was I didn't think it was just me, but I'm saying, like, when it comes down to me, you know you can rely on me.
It doesn't matter. I still have to double, like, even at the last Sad Boys show, I'm going around going blah 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 blah. Even though I know that, like, Bush runs a solid show, it doesn't matter. Like, I still have to, you know, make sure everything is exactly going according to plan. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
Do these shows always devolve into therapy sessions between you guys?
These? Not always just us. A lot of time with the guests, you know.
I'm happy to mediate. I mean, I just, I well, feel like you guys
job.
Have
That's
a lot
why
of...
we brought you
yeah,
here.
Absolutely. This I feel like you have a lot of shit to work
pro
out.
Pro bono, baby.
Yeah. We are not recording this. This is just... an excuse for you two to sit down and talk.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm going to murder you.
What did I do?
It's just, no, I just wanted to make sure that the intent was there so that Phil didn't get busted when I eventually stab you.
Right. This is now is now premeditated.
You better kill me, because then he's going to be my lawyer, and I'm going to sue your dad for you killing me.
You're going to sue my dad from beyond the grave.
When did your dad die?
No, you're going to be dead.
No, I won't be dead. There's you have too many witnesses, man.
You're going to sue me.
He's going to sue your dad.
I'm going to sue your dad because you're going to be dead or in jail.
Even in jail.
No, the reason I'm suing your dad is because you have nothing for me to sue from you. Like, I could maybe get your car.
Why would you want my car?
Exactly. Right. I'm getting another one.
You could barely fit in it.
What about your old car? We're getting either of us out of it was just like, I'm sure the people in the neighborhoods where we would get out of that car were like, oh, look at those fat boys and their asses.
It was...
what was this?
This was a Toyota Celica. Okay. So it's like real low to the ground.
Real low to the ground is an understatement, for the record.
Oh, yeah. Like I've had
go-kart.
I had to get new exhaust on it driving through Pittsburgh because it's so low to the ground that if you hit too many bumps, it's like... Beep, beep. There's the exhaust. So, yeah, it's not made for city driving. It's made for, you know, going out to the track with your fellas and the vroom, ground vrooming. Effects. Yeah.
What about in your personal life?
Being late. Oof. Example of it happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it. I hate to say it never does, but it really just. I just don't let it happen.
You said your wife.
Yeah, she pushes. She pushes it. She pushes the envelope.
And how long? That's another question I want to ask you. How long you guys been married?
Almost 13 years.
How long you guys been together?
About 15.
Okay.
Probably.
So, she knows how you feel about being late.
She learned this very early on.
And is she still late?
She's gotten marginally better, I will say, over the course of 15 years. But still pushes it.
Enough to piss you off.
Enough to piss me off.
Yeah.
And I think she knows that it gets me a little bit, so I think that's working against me to her actually wanting to get better at it, because it's like, this is the little thing I have over him.
Yeah.
Like, she knows we're not going to be actually... I won't let us be actually late, because, yeah. I mean, I've threatened to just...
Leave without her?
I will leave. Yeah. Me and the kids will leave, and you can drive separately, and that's fine, but... it's just I'll be.
My mom used to do that to my dad all the time.
Yeah,
she'd be like, "Rick, if you're not in the car in 10 minutes, we're leaving."
I've never had to actually do it, but I've come very, very close, and I would not have.
She's like
to
opening
do
the door as he's in reverse.
Yeah, nope. I said sitting in the car at 1:30, not opening the door at 1:30. There's a difference.
I respect that. Yeah, I respect that.
That would drive me insane.
Huh. The move she pulls sometimes is that, and this will happen. You know, if we have to do like a road trip for hockey or whatever we're doing, or I've said 1:30, me and the boys are in the car at 1:30, she gets in the car at 1:30, but she's only like half ready,
put together, so she brings her makeup and
the makeup bag, the brush. I mean, if she could plug in the hair dryer and the straightener in the car somehow, she would do that.
Yeah, just don't tell her she can.
Yeah, she can. So she's got the fold down mirror thing, and she's doing her makeup, and she's kind of, you know, every time you hit a bump and it messes up a little bit, you know, harumphing over that.
And you like, could have done this an hour ago.
You had complete control over whether you could just.
Do you
be
say
listening
that
to
shit
me?
To her, or you just
no,
let it go?
Got it. Nope.
Because you're not.
It.
Is that one of those things where you're like, I'm not going to win this fight, even though I'm right?
It's not worth it. It's just not worth. That's not the hill to die
God,
on.
That's being married.
That's not the hill.
That is.
I can relate. Because I had the same problem with my ex, and like she had a whole.
She had to down a fifth before you guys left.
Well, yeah, there was that too.
She had to smoke a pack of cigarettes and down a fifth before she could get ready.
Yeah, she had to do that. And then she had a routine with her makeup that she still tried to do in the car where she had to have a cigarette in her mouth while she was doing
ooh,
her makeup.
Smoke
that
and
seems
makeup
counterproductive.
At the same time?
This is like, I'm putting on my war paint.
I mean, what, is she the Joker? Jesus Christ. Is she that unstable?
Oh, well.
Wait, does your kid listen to our show?
Probably not.
Okay, good.
But, like, he agrees.
Right on, right on.
If he did. How old is he?
22.
Okay.
God, 22 already, huh?
22.
When did he enroll? At 18 or?
I don't know.
You don't know. I mean, I was going to say he's got to be close to graduating then.
Oh, shit. I don't think he's been going.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder where he picked that up from.
Definitely from me. I've been chastised by friends of mine for telling their kids, no, you don't have to go to college.
I actually had that conversation with somebody at work yesterday. He was like, yeah, I went to college for 5 years and didn't graduate. Oof. And I was like, I learned after a semester and a half that it wasn't for me. Yep. So I got out.
Yep.
You know? And he was like, yeah, I went for 5 years. I'm like, you're going to, like, I have debts, but, like, not college debt. Right. And it's like, fuck that, man. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why you would waste that much time of your life with no payoff.
Yeah.
Because we work at a pizza place.
Yeah. Especially with how many great trade jobs there are that make shitloads of money. I mean, we have trouble at work sometimes finding, you know, tool and die guys or, you know, skilled electricians that, you know, because they're just not out there. All these kids just automatically go to college. It's what their stupid guidance counselor in their high school tells
them. That's what in middle school, because I went to a place called Highland, and it's out in Medina, and it's basically called a college prep school. And, you know, college was the end all be all there. And it's a very rich white community. Sure. I was poor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I went to college, I went to Tri-C for a semester and a half. And after my first English class, and I got an A on a paper that I did not research at all. Like, when they asked me for my bibliography, I was like, I don't have one. I wrote it from memory. And she was like, well, you don't have a bibliography. I was like, well, will you read it and grade it? And she gave me a B+ because she went and did the research, but she gave me a grade down because I didn't have a bibliography.
Bullshit.
And I was just like, but I didn't. I literally wrote it from memory. I told her, I was like, I wrote it from memory the night before I came in here. And it was a really good paper. And I was like, after that, I was like, wait a second. This is not for me. Yeah. I'm not going to defend myself for the next 4 years. Right. You know, maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know.
I can definitely tell you that you're an idiot, but
I'm going to go take a shit in your car.
Well, you're going to have to sit in it.
I'm going to shit on your seat.
You're going to shit on my seat. All right. Well, this is it's a good thing that nobody is being late because it's not going to be a nervous shit. So I think we'll be fine.
It'll be solid.
Well, that's easier to clean.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank goodness for
that.
I can't wait to rub your nose in it. Bad little dog. Phil, where can we find you on the internet?
Twitter, at @Phil_Eckenrode, I think. Very clever name. And Instagram, @Phil_Eckenrode.
I will give you a follow, sir.
Awesome.
There you have it.
Jordan. Thank you guys for having me.
Jordan, please come. Wait. Please come back on because this was fun.
It's like a
mediation between us.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm gonna wear a robe and like a powdered wig next time.
Oh, please do. Oh, please do.
We for sure.
Can we film that and make that? We'll put that on the Patreon.
I will for sure do something like that if you guys want to.
Yes, Paul. Can we film that?
Get a camera.
I thought you had one. All right, we'll do it.
Let's make it work. For sure.
We'll make it work.
Gavel and everything.
The Jew and lawyer thing is just never going to go away, Phil.
Nope.
It's never going to go away. Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates being late as much as Phil Eckenrode.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no. I'm broke.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.